We have been talking for the last few weeks about the practices that followers of Jesus do that are tools the Holy Spirit uses to transform us and to help us thrive in a culture of chaos. The body of Christ always exists in whatever culture, whatever nation, we always exist in a culture of chaos as those who are ambassadors called to be salt and light, distinct and different. And so to worship, to connect, to serve, to pray, and to give, these are countercultural practices. They're not only things we do, but they're ways in which the Holy Spirit is transforming us, and it's the way that we fight our battles. We don't fight the way that the world fights. We don't try to bring about the kingdom of God with the weapons of the world. We actually follow Jesus. And when we remember who we are and who we follow, we recognize that our greatest moment of victory happens when Jesus is on the cross, giving his life away for his enemies. That's the way that we conquer the world. And so as we listen to these practices, they're shaping us, they're forming us, they're transforming us. We also believe they're pushing back the darkness and making visible the kingdom of God in the here and the now. We've talked about worship, we've talked about connect, we've talked about serving. This morning we talk about prayer. And I'm going to guess that most of you who are here this morning don't need me to tell you that you ought to pray, that you should pray. I'm guessing most of you kind of have that sense already if you've been to church at all ever in your life. So what I want to do this morning is I want to show you a moment when some people actually wanted to pray and were longing and desiring to pray. And so it's found in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. It says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. All right, now don't overlook this little, this is an awesome moment right here. Jesus doesn't put his disciples in a headlock and say, you guys ought to be praying more. He has not just preached a sermon to make them feel guilty for not praying more. They actually come to him and they say, Jesus, teach us, Lord, teach us how to pray. If I ask you guys, today men and women have said, hey, would y'all help me move a refrigerator after the worship service today? Some of y'all would go, okay, I will. But do you want to? It's kind of like when Susan says, hey, Jeff, do you want to fix dinner? Do you want to take out the trash? Do you want to unload the dish? No, I don't want to do any of those things. I might do them because I ought to and I should, or you might guilt me into it, but I don't want to do any of those things. Some of you would help me move the refrigerator because you think you ought to or you should, but you don't want to move a refrigerator. Nobody does. But if I said to you, hey, any of you guys want to go eat barbecue with me after worship this way? You're like, count me in. You want to do that, don't you? You're like, yeah, I want to. I'm going to make space. I desire that. I long for it. Think about this. When it comes to the call to prayer, and to be in conversation with God, does it feel like I'm asking you to move a refrigerator with me, or does it feel like I'm asking you to eat barbecue? And for a lot of us, if we were honest, who know that we ought to and we should and we're supposed to, it feels more like moving a refrigerator than it does going to eat barbecue. But that's not what's going on right here in this passage right here. The disciples actually, man, they're coming to Jesus asking for this. And what brought them to the place where they wanted to learn how to pray? Like, Jesus, teach us how to do this. And if you had read up to chapter 11 in Luke, you would have seen that Jesus is going around. He's doing miracles. He's healing the sick. He's feeding the 5,000. He is casting out demons. Before this moment, he's told his disciples to go out and to do the things that he is doing. He's told his disciples that if they're going to follow him, that they're going to have to pick up their cross, that it's going to be costly for them to follow. He's told them that they're going to love their enemies. They're going to give away their lives, not like the Romans did. They're not going to accumulate power for themselves. They're going to give away their lives in service to those who would be their enemies. And the disciples have heard all this, and they're like, we are totally incapable of doing the thing that Jesus is asking us to do. But they've been watching Jesus do it. And they've connected that the power of Jesus' life is connected to this fact that he's always praying. And they've connected prayer and power, and that they feel the call, and they feel so inadequate to do the thing that God is calling them to do, that now they desire and they long, that they want to pray. Jesus, teach us. Jesus, because now, nah, guys, I'm not going to teach you, right? That'd have been fun, right? But he didn't do that. He gives them the Lord's Prayer after this, but that, they long for it. And you know what that's like, because you've had those experiences. I've had those experiences. When the doctor left me a message on my cell phone one weekend on a Friday night that I was diagnosed with a disease that kills most people over the next 2 years, I didn't think I ought to pray or I should pray. I wanted to pray. I didn't have that condition, by the way. And if you're a medical professional, don't leave people messages on the weekend, doc, telling them that they've got a condition. That was a long weekend. I survived. I didn't have it. When Abby had allergy-induced asthma and she couldn't breathe, and we stuck her in the car and her driving to the emergency room when she was a little kid and she couldn't breathe, nobody was telling me, Jeff, you really ought to pray right now. You should pray. You have a duty to pray. No, I just prayed. And you did too. You've had those moments when you knew that you were incapable of doing the thing that you wanted, and you desired the presence and power of God in your life. And in those moments when you earnestly desire God's presence and God's power, you pray. And you pray naturally, and you want to pray, and you long to pray when you want his presence and his power in your life. But what happens for most of us? We get past that crisis moment, and what do? We just go back to life. You go back to your ordinary job. You do ordinary things. Your goal is to get through another day, to be a decent human being. You want to raise ordinary kids who do ordinary things, who are conformed to a dysfunctional world, and you want them to be successful at what the world defines as success. And you stop taking risk. You know, you're not doing anything that you're incapable of doing. You wouldn't do something that you couldn't do yourself. And your greatest act of faith is rolling out of bed on a Sunday morning when it's cold outside, thinking you're doing God a favor and showing up for church, right? And when that's the life that we're living, it's no wonder that prayer feels like eating your veggies. Because when you're drifting, you don't need his power, nor do you need his presence to drift. You're being assimilated to the culture. Like the Borg said on Star Trek, you will be assimilated. And when you're being assimilated to the culture, and you're seeking to live like everybody else, doing what you're capable of doing, then yeah, there's not much desire to pray in those moments. Many of us have known some people who lived authentic, beautiful, powerful Christian lives. And we saw God work in their lives in really cool ways. And we saw spiritual discernment, and we see those people, and many of us have connected that those people pray. And that there's that connection between powerful, transformed lives that make a real difference and prayer. But listen, those people pray because they long to live powerful, transformed lives. They desire to actually follow Jesus. They believe that Jesus actually called them to live lives that were a demonstration of the resurrection power of Jesus. They actually believe that Jesus is calling them to obey him and to love their neighbors and to bless those who curse them, to use what power and influence and wealth we have to lift up the least and the last and the lost. They actually want to live that way, and they actually believe that we're called to do the things that Jesus did, and so that they long to pray and they're desperate to pray because they know that that kind of life is totally outside of our ability. If you want to pray, man, long to live the life that is outside of your power and control. Long for the more. Believe that Jesus actually called you, your life, to be to the world the demonstration of the resurrected power of Jesus Christ alive today. Don't get comfortable in your sin. Don't get comfortable in a life that is less than the kind of life that God has called us to live. Long to be saved to the uttermost. Long to experience the fullness of Christ. Long to experience God working in us in such a way that the impact of our lives is similar to the impact that Christ made on those that he walked with. Because that's what Jesus called us to be, and it's what he called us to do. And when we believe that, and we want to pray, and we long to pray, and we come before Jesus saying, Jesus, teach us to pray. Do you want? Do you believe? Will you lean in to the life that he's able to give to you? Will you trust that what the Bible says, what the Bible calls us to be, that Jesus was serious about that? And when we get serious about that, we will long to pray. And what's going to happen in our longing to pray is it's going to change our prayers. Listen to what happened to Paul in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Paul's writing to this group of Christians, and he says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Paul says, pray about everything. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Pray about it all. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Don't you love that? Paul's in chains. Paul's in prison. Paul doesn't know what the future is going to hold for him. And so he's writing to the church in Ephesus and he's saying, guys, pray for me. He doesn't pray for ordinary stuff. He says, pray that I will fearlessly declare the good news of Jesus Christ because I'm an ambassador. I'm in chains. But I'm an ambassador in chains, and pray that I will fearlessly declare who he is, because Paul knew who he was. Paul knew whose he was, and Paul knew why he was here. And so Paul is praying, not simply, Lord, help me stay healthy, Lord, whatever it else. Paul is praying, Lord, help me live out the calling that God has placed on every single one of us who belong to Jesus Christ to bring him glory, to make visible the kingdom of God in the here and now, in our lives, and to declare his grace to all the world. Paul knew who he was and why he was here. And so he prayed, and he prayed bold prayers. Amen. Pray some bold prayers. Pray some bold prayers. When people join our church, one of the things we ask is that you pray. And when I have people and I'm talking about joining our church, I say, pray bold prayers. Pray for our church to be more than any of us can make it on our own. Not that we'll have a decent church and, you know, that people will show up on Sunday morning. There's lots of churches where people show up on Sunday morning. That doesn't mean much. Pray that God's power would be so manifest in our gatherings that people would sense the Holy Spirit in a way that cannot be attributed to the songs that are sung or the sermon that is preached or whatever, anything else that's going on in here, but that the power of God will be felt in immense, powerful ways, and people will walk out the doors changed, that we will become in our life together, that we will look like the kingdom of God being made visible in the here and the now. Pray that we would become what only God can make us to be. Pray bold prayers for our church. As long as we want our church to be ordinary, There's no desire or longing to pray, but when we want our church to be what God has called us to be, we recognize that's not going to occur without Him. And so we long for His presence and we long for His power. We say, God, make us what only You can create us to be. And here's the beautiful thing. When you come to trust God, and we come to believe His word, and we begin to step out in faith, doing things that we know that we're not capable of doing, but are going to require His presence. When we begin to step out in faith, we begin to come to know Him. And as we come to know Him, He begins to transform our minds. We begin to hear His word in a different way. We begin to see the world in a different way. And as He transforms our minds, one of the things that happens is we recognize we just don't need Him for the big things. We need Him for the ordinary things. Amen. Everything that is good, everything that is holy, everything that is true, everything that is beautiful in our lives is of Him. It's of Him, sustained by Him, given to us by Him, upheld by Him. And in my prayers in the morning, when I wake up, and I have some stuff I say, but when I kind of get into my prayer stuff after that, the first thing I do is almost always I take a couple of breaths and I say, thank you, God, because I can't make my lungs work. I just breathe in a couple of times. I say, thank you, Lord. That's a gift. And then I hear my heartbeat and I say, Lord, thank you. My heart's beating this morning. And I thank you for that. And then typically, this is my normal stuff. Typically, I say, Lord, thank you that the world is spinning today. Because if He doesn't hold it, it doesn't stay. He holds it all together. The whole world is in His hands. And so every morning when I wake up, it's Lord, my breath, my heart, this world is spinning, and everything that is today, it's simply because You are, and it's a gift. And when we begin to live this way, which happens as we come to know Him, and the way you come to know Him is you trust Him. You begin to believe Him. We begin to pray bold prayers. We begin to step out. We begin to discover that He's trustworthy. He transforms our minds and the way we see the world. And then as we come to know Him even better, we come to love Him. We come to love Him more and more. And you know what you love to do with people that you love? You love to talk to them. You love to spend time with them. You love their presence in their lives. And we just begin to have this communion that we begin to desire Him more and more. For many of us today, I think God is calling us though to look at our lives and to say, am I longing for the fullness of life in Jesus Christ? Have I settled? Is there some sin that you've settled into, that you've grown comfortable with, that you've given up on? Is there some aspect of your life where you're just drifting? You're no longer following the call of God to step out boldly and to trust Him? The place to begin today would just be to believe Him. Believe Him about your life and your calling and ask Him for the fullness of the life that only He can give. Let me pray. Lord, I'm so grateful for Your love and Your grace. And Lord, as we have often done, there have been moments when we were desperate for You. We cried out, Lord, save us. We longed for Your presence. We longed for You to hear us. We longed to talk to You. And then that moment passed, and we thought to ourselves occasionally, when the preacher preaches some sermon on prayer, that we ought to pray more. So, Father, I pray that You would give us that spirit that was in the disciples, who longed and desired for prayer. Lord, help us to make the connection between prayer and power. And then, Lord, help us have the desire to live lives that necessitate Your power in your presence. Lord, we've grown too comfortable. We've been too assimilated. We've asked too little of you. Our problem is not that we've asked too much. Our problem is that we have settled down into lives that are far less than you're willing to give. And so, Lord, raise our eyes up to you. Help us to look up and say, God, what in our life would you not deal with? Lord, you have the power to raise up a people who will demonstrate your character and your goodness and your grace. Lord, we thank you that on that night when Jesus gathered with his disciples before he would be betrayed and crucified, we thank you for this demonstration of his love. We remember how he took bread and he gave thanks and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then, Lord, we remember when the supper was over, how he lifted up the cup and he gave thanks to you and he gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, Lord, we gather remembering how you poured out your love for us. That the life we have today is all because of you. And Lord, as we remember your life, we remember your teaching, we don't simply thank you for what you did. We know that today you're holding out your hand to us and inviting us to walk with you, to experience your goodness and grace. And so, Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on these simple gifts of bread and juice, that they would be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, so that redeemed and nurtured and fed by him, filled by his Holy Spirit, we might demonstrate your character and your grace and your power to all the world. Make us one with you, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until that day when Christ comes again and he makes all things right. We pray this in the name of God the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.